listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Robbins. It's nearly the end of April, which means we are 1 month closer to whatever comes next. For now, we have Kissing Basilisks, Chapter 8. Ferd is a homewrecker. Ferd had never meant Sage McLaren, of all people, to see his house. He knew some of Sage's story. Raised in an anti-magic town in the middle of nowhere, suppressed for his whole childhood, rescued by some aunt and brought to the city, but cut off ruthlessly by every other member of his family. That wasn't anything like Ferd's story. Ferd's story was, well, it wasn't great, but it was embarrassing to compare their situations. Sage had lost everything when he was still a kid. Ferd's relationship with his parents was rough since the accident, sure. They wanted him to keep pushing to get his powers back, to do whatever it took. Ferd wanted to move on with his life. But they never actually kicked him out. They hated his choices, but they signed the checks. Paid his rent so he could keep studying subjects they disapproved of, without getting a job or four, like most of his housemates. He was the one who walked away. Neither his mother or father had spoken to him in 3 months, but they hadn't made him choose between his new life and the life they wanted for him. Not irrevocably. There were probably a bunch of parenting manuals somewhere in this house, assuring them that if they gave him a hard ultimatum, it would encourage him to rebel. That kindness kept the path of communication open. This house. Ferd hadn't been back here in ages. Not since he moved the last of his shirts into the little room on the top floor of the Manic Pixie Dream House. There'd been a formal invitation for the summer solstice, hadn't there? He remembered thinking about it, even considering the possibility of introducing them to Hebe, but that had been a rocky week, and in the end, he didn't have the energy to go through with it. He had not set foot in this house in months, and something had changed since then. It didn't feel right. There was a heaviness about the walls. Even the windows in this big, airy, open foyer felt like they were glaring at him, like he was a stranger. "So," said Sadie, walking ahead of them both in her tiny shorts and tank, like she'd just rolled out of bed, "before you say anything..." "Aren't you supposed to be in Paris?" Ferd blurted out. It was embarrassing, but he didn't remember the last time he and Sadie even texted each other, or Skyped. They weren't like Holly and Hebe as siblings went. Sadie used to check in with him every week after the accident. But when he pulled away from their parents, he stopped responding to her texts as well. Part of him just didn't want to find out if she would take his side or theirs. She gave him an odd sort of smile now. "I came home for the solstice." "Oh, right, that made sense." "Sorry," he said quickly, "that I flaked. On coming home, I mean. I didn't realise you'd be here." Now she looked worried. "Ferdinand, we saw each other 10 days ago. On the summer solstice, here, in this house. Do you really not remember?" Ferd swallowed. His fingers crackled with power. This was... he couldn't. "Sage," he said shakily, "you should go home." You couldn't tell Sage McLaren what to do. He folded his arms, which only made his shoulders look more enormous. "Not leaving you here, mate." Sadie gave Sage a withering glare, which brought a wash of nostalgia with it. Sadie had always made a point of hating all of Ferd's friends. "What do you think I'm going to do to him, Mr. Muscles?" "I'm not worried about you, princess," said Sage, getting in touch with his inner asshole, as he always did in times of stress. "I'm worried about this house. It feels fucking toxic." He turned on Ferd, eyes blazing. "I'm not imagining that right. I'm assuming this isn't normal for you lot. It feels cursed. It's a traditional warlock house, Ferd said dismissively. They always feel cursed. But you're right. This is wrong, different, strange. He bolted for the huge staircase. Wait, Sadie called behind him, but he wasn't going to stop. Ferd's magic, buzzing and fierce and not at home yet inside his skin, should be happy to be here. Chauvelin Manor, the family estate and territory. The house should be happy to have him here, especially now he was magical again. Where are the snakes? He demanded as he made it to the first floor, facing off against the mistresses, a series of famous paintings by Geneve, a distant ancestor of whom the Chauvelins were particularly proud. Where are the snakes? What snakes? Demanded Sage, who had followed him closely. Do your parents have pet snakes? What are their names, and do you dress them up in little outfits? Brass snakes, Ferd explained. They normally hang from the walls here when they're not sliding up and down the banisters or recording the personal data of house strangers. Charming, your family, observed Sage. They're gone. The paintings were wrong, too. Usually when you were this close to the mistresses, you could hear the melodic, charmed soundtrack, played by a long-dead orchestra and recorded forever in oil paint. Today, nothing. Not a bell. He kept going, up to the next landing. Wait, Sadie complained, but she trailed behind them, not making much of an effort to hold him back. Ferd hesitated only a moment before pushing his way into the practice studio. This was the family hub. Far more so than the kitchen or the living room or the conservatory. They didn't so much congregate here as constantly bicker over who got to use the perfect space in the house for magical activity. It had belonged to the Tulele family before the Chauvelins moved here. 6 generations of high-powered warlocks who'd been hanging around this neck of the woods since Federation. The Tulele's were shadowmancers and weatherworkers for the most part, which meant wide-open windows on 2 sides of the massive room, a skylight at the perfect angle for observing the Southern Cross, and so much power soaked into the walls that you could lean against them and get a magical contact high from decades past. Ferd had never felt more assured, more in control, more completely himself than he had in this room, with its bare floor and walls, its thick wax candles and century-old blackwood chests containing his own family's magical history, athames and crystals and talismans and books left to them from great-great-great-grand-relatives. Today, it felt like a room. Just a room. Quiet, empty, dead. He should have felt a satisfying hum as he stepped in here. His magic back again, ready to work. Not to mention the wards on this place should have flung Sage on his ass for coming up here as a stranger to the house, without any kind of formal oath to guard their secrets. Ferd should have felt himself recharging this close to the core. Instead, the room tugged weakly at him, begging for scraps. What have they done to the house? Ferd asked Sadie in despair. All the magic has been squeezed out of it like an orange. A lot's changed, she said, and now she was looking at him very strangely indeed. Ferdinand, you must remember some of it. Some of what? She waved an exhausted arm around the empty practice studio, looking bleak. They did this for you. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.